Well, good morning and welcome to worship from St. James, West Streatham. Peace be with you. Whether you're a member of St. James, whether you're a member of another church, or whether you're not a member of any church at all, it's wonderful that you've joined us this morning at home or here in church. It's great to welcome you. When the children of Israel were crossing the desert and on the brink of entering the promised land, just across the Jordan from the city of Jericho, Joshua, the leader, sent two spies across the Jordan to Jericho to check out the lie of the land. It was a very dangerous assignment. If they'd been caught by the people of Jericho, they surely would have been executed. They took lodging for the night in the house of a woman called Rahab, a citizen of Jericho. And at great risk to herself, in fact, she hid the two spies on the roof so that when the soldiers came looking for them, they couldn't find them. And this is what she said to the two Israelite spies. "We've heard about what your God has done as he led you out of slavery in Egypt, as he parted the Red Sea for you to cross on dry land, as he looked after you for 40 years in the desert. Your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Now, the people of Jericho were worshippers of the moon. Jericho means house of the moon. Rahab, like all the other people in Jericho, would have worshipped the moon day and night. And yet she says to the two Israelite spies, your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. The God that they worshipped was perhaps just up there in the heavens. But your God, she says, is God down here as well. And I want to be on his side. Rahab becomes part of the family tree that would eventually come to Jesus, the Messiah. And so the God that we worship this morning is that same God. He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. He does great things. He can come into our lives and do incredible things for us, not least the death and resurrection of Jesus, by which we are set free and brought into a wonderful relationship with God. So God, we thank you this morning that you are God in heaven above and on the earth below. In fact, you made the moon and you made everything else, including us. And we thank you, Lord, for inviting us now into your presence to worship you. Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd fill us with the joy of your salvation, that we might give you the worship that you deserve, not just beautiful songs, but, Lord, the offering of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do have a Bible with you at home, I do encourage you to keep it open there at Psalm 131. Well, I was just 7 years old when, in 1972, I made my first trip to Wembley Stadium with my dad and my brother, proudly sporting our red and white scarves and our cup final rosettes. We boarded the coach when it was still dark to make the long journey south from St. Helens in Lancashire to watch our beloved team take on Leeds in the Rugby League Challenge Cup final. I have so many vivid memories of that day, not least winning the cup. But the standout memory for me was the singing. It started on the coach, singing songs about the glories of our team, what we were going to do to the enemy and how sweet the victory would be. Oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. And then we'd stop at lunchtime at the service station, Hilton Park, just outside Birmingham, to eat our beef palm cakes, have a brew, and visit the loo. And there we'd meet fellow Saints fans who were traveling on other coaches, all heading in the same direction, and the singing got louder. And then we arrived at last in London, and we walked down Wembley Way, that old approach to the old stadium. And the crowds were vast. My dad picked me up and put me on his shoulders. I'd never seen so many people. And the singing was deafening as we jostled and entered the stadium together. If you can imagine what that was like for a young boy like me, you get some of the way to understanding something really important about Psalm 131, our psalm this morning. In our current series, All of Life is Here, Worship Through the Psalms, we've moved from Psalm 46, a psalm of confidence, to Psalm 51, a psalm of confession, to this morning's Psalm 131, what I'm calling a psalm of calm. In the preface to the psalm, just before verse 1 begins, we read two things about this psalm. First, it's written by King David, like many of the psalms. And second, it's a song of ascents or a song of going up. This psalm was one of a group of psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 called the Songs of Ascent. And they were sung by pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. Now, the Jewish year was structured around their religious festivals. There were six major festivals outlined in the Old Testament. Two were added on later in that period between the Old and the New Testament, the Feast of Purim and Hanukkah. But there were six Old Testament festivals. And of those six festivals, three were regarded as the most important. Passover in the spring, Shavuot or Pentecost in the summer, and Sukkot or Tabernacles in the autumn, round about this time of year. And for those three major festivals, it was obligatory for the head of every family, wherever you lived in Israel, plus other family members who would want to as well, to travel up, to ascend to Jerusalem, to join in the festival worship. The population of Jerusalem swelled by thousands and thousands at festival time as people came from all over the country to celebrate the goodness of God. Families would travel together from villages and towns. And on the way, they'd meet other families from other villages and towns. And as they walked by day and as they sat around the campfire eating and drinking by night, they would sing. They'd sing of the glories of God and the history of Israel. They would sing about what God would do to his enemies. They'd sing about how sweet God's victory would be. And the psalms they would sing, the songs they would sing, were the songs of ascent, the songs of going up. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, including our psalm for this morning, Psalm 131. And the singing would intensify as they arrived on the outskirts of Jerusalem and as they walked that famous approach down the Mount of Olives and into the city. Children would be carried by their mum or lifted onto dad's shoulders above the jostling crowds, or when the saints go marching in. So as you read Psalm 131, you have to imagine yourself into that scenario, in the singing crowds going up to Jerusalem. And if you do that, the psalm will come alive in a wonderful way. Now, I'm calling this a psalm of calm because the overriding feeling I get whenever I read this psalm is precisely that, calm. There are two things I want us to see this morning in this psalm. The first is resting, not wrestling. Resting, not wrestling. Look with me at verse 1. David writes, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." There is a time for wrestling with the deep, imponderable mysteries of life and faith and God and how they interconnect and fit together, the kind of things that we might find confusing or perplexing, the great matters that David talks about in verse 1. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. There is a time to wrestle with those great matters. In fact, later in our series, when we get to Psalm 73, a psalm of confusion, we're going to see a great example of that wrestling. When the writer of Psalm 73, a man called Asaph, wrestles with the mystery of why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. In fact, Asaph says this wrestling became such a burden that it was oppressive to him. He couldn't work out the answer to the riddle. There is an appropriate time for wrestling with the mysteries of God. Because we don't have a frontal lobotomy when we become Christians. When we enter church, we don't check out our brain at the door and pick it up again when we leave. We are told to love God with all our mind, as well as our heart, soul, and strength. There is an appropriate time for wrestling with the mysteries of God. But there is also a time to put those deep matters aside, to stop wrestling and to rest. To rest in God and to let God be God, content for the moment at least not to know all the answers. Satisfied that God knows and that you can trust him and that he will reveal to you what you need to know when you need to know it and that he will sustain you by his grace in the unknowing. Psalm 131 is written for such a time as that. For a time to stop the wrestling and to rest in God. So that's the first thing I want us to see this morning. Resting, not wrestling. The second thing I want us to see is stillness, not shaking. Stillness, not shaking. Look at verse 2. David writes, "But I have stilled and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." There is a time for shaking in our shoes at the sheer awesome majesty, power, holiness, vastness, and otherness of God. David, who wrote Psalm 131, also wrote Psalm 29 earlier in the book of Psalms. And in Psalm 29, David writes this: "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones." They're the angels. "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory." Incredible psalm. Makes you shake in your shoes as David pictures just the voice of God twisting oak trees, stripping those trees of their leaves, and making the mountains skip like a calf. And the same David who wrote Psalm 131 and wrote Psalm 29 wrote Psalm 8. And Psalm 8 says this: "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? the Son of Man, that you care for him. You know, there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on all the beaches in the world put together, which is a billion trillion plus. And the universe is still expanding at a rapid rate so that you'll never get to the edge of it. And the earth, which feels so vast to us, is so small it fits into the sun 1.3 million times over. And yet the sun is just average in comparison with other stars in the universe, like the red giant Betelgeuse, which is 700 times larger than the sun and 14,000 times brighter, and yet that's not the biggest star in our universe. And David didn't know any of that. He just looked up at the night sky and said, "Oh God, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man? Who am I that you're bothered about me, that you care for me?" The famous atheist Richard Dawkins said that that's petty. That if there really is a God who created the vast expanse of the universe, it would be petty to think that he cares at all about mere specks of dust on a slightly bigger speck of dust floating in the universe. But you see, David was right and Dawkins was wrong. Because David, who could write Psalm 8 and Psalm 29 and Psalm 131, knowing that the same God who makes us shake in our shoes also causes us to be like a little child, still in his intimate and personal presence. There are times when what we need most is to experience that intimate, up close and personal reality of God, which brings us deep inner calm. David speaks here in verse 2 of Psalm 131, of stilling and quietening his soul, his inner person, so that he feels like a weaned child being held by its mother or sitting on its dad's shoulders. Earlier on in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy and chapter 1, Moses is recalling the time when God delivered his people from Egypt and brought them across the wilderness. And he says this, "There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place." God carried you on his shoulders, like a father carries his son, or in his arms like a father carries or a mother carries her daughter. Weaning took place around about 3 years old in Jewish society. So the little child who's pictured here in Psalm 131 was a bit younger than I was when I traveled to Wembley Stadium for the first time. But just as Dad lifted me onto his shoulders on that day, so David experiences God's intimate presence as if he's been carried by God like a little child. And so Psalm 131 was a great psalm to sing as the pilgrims made their final approach to Jerusalem, as parents carried their excited children in their arms or on the shoulders to keep them safe from the crush of the mass of the crowds, singing the glories of God. David says, this is what God does for us. So in conclusion, Psalm 131, resting, not wrestling, stillness, not shaking. And David ends by joyfully urging all his subjects, the whole of Israel to do what he has done, to experience God as he has experienced him. Verse 3, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord who carries you like a father or a mother carrying that weaned child. Put your hope in the Lord in whose presence we can still and quieten our souls. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. For the God with whom we sometimes wrestle and who sometimes makes us shake in our shoes is also the God in whose arms we can rest and be still this morning. Because of that, he is the God of hope. I encourage you this morning to put your hope in him, to still and quieten your soul like a weaned child. Let's pray. Let's just be quiet in the presence of God for a moment. Let's still and quieten our souls in his presence. Lord God, we thank you that there are times when we can wrestle with you, seeking to understand the deep mysteries of life and faith. And thank you, Lord, there are times when you make us shake in our shoes. Such is your awesome vastness and power. But Lord, thank you too that there are times to rest and be still. Lord, help us this morning to do that, to rest and be still, to be content that you know all the answers, that you hold our very lives in your hands. Help us to experience that stillness, that security of being held by you, be carried by you. Lord, help us to be calm as we surrender our lives to you afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen. So now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you, upon those you love and pray for this day. And until we see Jesus face to face and still and quieten our souls in his presence, and then forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.